This is the Unconquered Podcast. Unbiased, unrivaled, and unconquered coverage and analysis of Florida State football.
If Florida State,
we won national championships and ACC championships.
It's caught! Touchdown official, Kelvin Benjamin!
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something I can really do this.
Game over! Those are the champions of college football!
Jameis, why? Jameis, no! No! No!
Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Today on the podcast, we're going to be joined by Jody Demling from CardinalAuthority.com. We're going to talk about the Florida State Louisville game coming up on Thursday. So good to have you with us, Jody.
Yeah, it's good to be here. And look, the city of Louisville is excited because, you know, this time last year we were in the AAC, not the ACC, and they were preparing for Memphis. It's a little different preparing for Florida State for fans and for the team than it was preparing for Memphis. Not to knock Memphis, but, you know, the conferences are so different. And the excitement this year, every single game, even the Wake Forest game, who, you know, they were a heavy favorite in that. It was just the excitement is there for Louisville. And this one kind of puts it over the top because this is the one that they've all been waiting for.
Yeah, and what's funny, I mean, it's funny to hear that on the one hand because Florida State fans half the time are complaining about the ACC. But I mean, that it does show sort of the way, the difference between sort of the haves and the have-nots in the Power Five versus those on the outside. And I will say, and this goes all the way back to the Metro Conference, really, with Louisville, right, and Florida State. So it's not like these programs are completely unfamiliar with each other in most sports. And obviously, there's some history in football going back to, you know, the Monsoon game in 2002 and some other things. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy to have Louisville, and I think most Florida State fans were excited to actually add Louisville, a program that is that actually cares about football. I mean, obviously one of the best basketball programs in the country, but it's a program that cares about football. It's a program with a solid fan base, and you know, packs out the stadium, and it's right, actually adding a program that can help bolster some ACC football that has been flagging. And given the recent events at North Carolina, they may actually be flagging a little bit longer depending on what the NCAA decides to do with them. So.
Right, and I think that I do a radio show also, and I have our afternoon guy is a Florida State alum, and he's a huge Florida State fan, and we've had to hear it for years and years and years. In 2002, he was there with us in the rain game when the Louisville fans stormed the field after the touchdown in overtime. But, you know, he made the point, a good point, that some of his Florida State friend fans down, you know, in Tallahassee and in Florida were like, oh, yeah, we love Louisville, we love Louisville, love Louisville. And then now, as this year's come out, it's like, well, we like them in the ACC, but couldn't they have been in the other division? And Louisville's heard that from some of the Clemson fans as well, because I really think, I mean, the way you look at the Coastal and you look at the three teams, you know, Louisville, Florida State, and Clemson, and, you know, Louisville and Clemson, it was a pretty good game, could have gone either way. Louisville kind of laid an egg when they went to Virginia, and they knew at some point they were probably going to do that with a tougher schedule, but you know, I think when you look at it from a fan standpoint, it's like, wow, these three teams make a really tough division. And I think, you know, like the Clemson fans, I can imagine some of the Florida State people are like, wow, I wish they were on the other side. You know, couldn't they have moved someone else over here to this division?
Yeah, I mean, with the Florida State fans, I think, you know, you will hear that from some, but most Florida State fans are just, they want the best games possible all year. So, I mean, there's sort of two sides of the dial there. There's the side that says, listen, we just want to go undefeated, because if we go undefeated, we know we've got a seat at the table. So whatever needs to happen for that to happen is what matters. And then you have the people who really, I mean, there's a large portion of the fan base that would rather just be in the SEC. Now, I'm among those who I think that would be stupid, because I think it's better to be the only 800-pound gorilla in your conference, or one of two or three, rather than being one of like eight. You know, let's you know, be in a position where you actually have a chance to win more games and have more, right, seats at the table. I think that's a better situation. Now, obviously, it's better if the ACC it does raise its profile, and if a Louisville and a Clemson continue to rise, that helps. But you know, you've got those two sides, and there are a lot of people who would just that, you know, it doesn't matter. They'd rather all the good teams basically be on Florida State's side, because it means that they actually get, right, games that they care to watch. So there's both of those sides on that. But
here's the Louisville fan.
Go ahead.
The Louisville fan base, here's how they kind of think, because, all right, September 26, 2002 was that game. Florida State was ranked fourth at the time when they came in. Since then, since 2002 until this game on Thursday night, Louisville has played three ranked teams at home since then. Every game at home since then, only three ranked teams. And two of them came in 2006. They played Miami, who was ranked 15th, and they beat them 31-7. And they played West Virginia, who was ranked number three at the time, which is the highest ranked team they've ever played, later that year. The other one was a 15th ranked South Florida team that ended up, I think, having a losing record in 2008 after Louisville beat them and they went on a four-game losing streak that year. So that goes to show you right there, the Louisville fans are just starved to have good competition, and it's really a lot of fun for them, these kind of games like we've had this year so far.
Yeah, so let's get into talking about this game. And again, it's I think every game involving Florida State has kind of been interesting so far this year, because FSU has been something of an enigma. They're, you know, arguably right, the most talented team in the country, but they also have some holes, and they've shown some of those holes. They've not played especially well at any point this year. There's been, you know, that there's been halves or quarters where they've played well, where they played really well on one side of the ball, but they haven't put together, I would argue, they haven't even put together a whole half yet where they've really put everything together and played like a national championship team would be expected to play, let alone last year's title team, which was one of the most dominant, you know, teams in recent memory. So, right, you know, you just don't know what to expect with this team at this point in a lot of ways. And then Louisville is actually sort of similar in this game, because you're getting back players that have not really played all year. I mean, between Devontae right, Parker, who returned last week, and Michael Dyer, who also returned last week to, you know, at least to full action, you know, right, the offense at Louisville is suddenly taken a much, you know, they're a much different offense. It's a totally different complexion when you have those guys on the field than before. And then, of course, you know, there's the questions about the strength of schedule that Louisville has played in terms of defensively so far. But the defense is, according to Football Outsiders adjusted ratings, they're the second best defense in the country coming into this game, which is opponent adjusted. So, right, you know, it's an interesting matchup coming in. What from the Louisville side are you thinking? What's the first thing that you're going to be looking at in this game to sort of determine this outcome, and how do you expect this game to play out initially?
I think the first thing that we've been looking at for the last 5 weeks is, who are they putting on the field? Because they really have, I mean, they have four running backs that have 100-yard games this year, four different guys with 100-plus yard games this year: Dominic Brown, Michael Dyer, LJ Scott, who's a true freshman, and Brandon Radcliffe. All four of them have been hurt much of the year. Michael Dyer's first game at full strength was the NC State game. He had 173 yards. Brandon Radcliffe had 175 yards against Syracuse, and then missed the next 2 weeks, or had like two carries the next 2 weeks with turf toe. Dominic Brown, who had 33 carries for 155 yards in the opening game of the year against Miami, 33 carries to 2 weeks later having one carry. He had an ankle injury. And LJ Scott, a week after 130 yards, he gets an ankle injury. All four of those guys have been dinged up. And Devontae Parker, who I think probably, if he had been healthy this year, is a surefire first-round pick, if not middle to higher first round, just because people don't understand and realize what an athletic freak that he really is. And he's, you know, he just came back for the first game. So, and then you had Will Gardner, the quarterback, who missed a couple games, and they had to start a true freshman, who, by the way, a true freshman who had only played 1 year of quarterback at his varsity at the high school level, and he wins two games. You know, I know it was Wake Forest and and Florida International, I think, is what the two that he won, but it was two games in college football as a true freshman, and not a bad start. It was Wake Forest and Syracuse is what it was. And so not that bad, but that's the first thing for us is, are all these guys going to be back? And from what we understand, they are. It's a totally different offense than it has been all season. Even the NC State game, when they had Devontae Parker back, they didn't know until Thursday night that they were for sure going to have him back. He really wasn't in the game plan. I mean, he was in the game plan, but it was like, we hope these plays are going to be in there. And then they actually had to put him in there on Friday. So it's totally different. And I think it's going to be hard. My opinion is it's going to be hard for Florida State to try to defend early on, because there's going to be a lot of different things than what they've seen on film.
Which seems to be the refrain the last couple of years if you are Florida State. I mean, it seems like, you know, obviously if you're the top team in the country, people do everything they can. Every team is going to give you their best shot. They're going to hold stuff back all year for that game. You know, you look at the NC State game this year, which was very similar actually to the Boston College game in 2013. Early season games where in the first quarter, neither team ran pretty much anything they'd shown all year. And, you know, Florida State really struggled to get lined up properly. You know, they got gapped in the running game. They gave up a throwback screen. There's all sorts of misdirection they're giving up. And then once things got back to base, Florida State locked them down. And you could see that in both years. And again, this is it's remarkable that at week 10, you're in a position where you're kind of expecting the same thing from Louisville, coming off of a bye, and all of a sudden with new pieces in the offense that they haven't had all year, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period early on for that Florida State defense, I think. Now, that said, they've seen more stuff, so they're less likely to be thrown off than you are early in the year.
Right.
Especially since this Florida State defense, and one of the reasons that Florida State's been so unpredictable, is this Florida State defense has one senior in the two deep. In terms of your on the defensive side. So, you know, you've got, you could argue two, but but both of them are backups. You have a backup defensive tackle, Desmond Holland, and you have a backup cornerback who is really about the fourth or fifth guy, really. Nick Wasim. And, you know, these guys are basically, they don't play that much, and everybody else is junior or below, and there's a lot of sophomores and freshmen that are getting playing time at this point. And so, you know, it took a long time for them to kind of figure out who goes where, and I think they're still figuring out who they are as a defense to some degree, in part because they've had to deal with similar kinds of injury problems. They lost a starting nose tackle for the season, then they lost his two backups for multiple games over the course of the year. There's been a lot of upheaval, especially on the defensive front, and they're still not totally stable there. And when the first team defensive tackles come off the field, it's a huge drop off at this point. You just don't know what to expect with those guys. You do know that they're not going to make the plays that Eddie Goldman and to a lesser extent Derek Mitchell are making. And you can't take Mario Edwards off the field at this point, really, because he doesn't have anybody that can replace him. So they're much thinner up front than last year is one thing. You know, right away, this is one of the reasons I think that, you know, they've had more trouble. They're a good defense, Florida State is, but they're not dominant in the way they were last year. Primarily, I think, because last year you had 6 300-pounders with experience that you could rotate at the defensive tackle spot and rely on. When you can do that, and you can keep those guys fresh all game, those guys can go all out 100% every play, which is not normal in the trenches. And those teams, that allowed them to really dominate teams up front in a way they've not done this year. They've not gotten pressure on the quarterback the same way, and they've struggled to be as consistent. They've been very good in the red zone, though, which you would expect when you've got the studs that they have and you're thinner. So that's the situation.
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing, you know, it's a weird – this is the situation Louisville has faced, you know, a couple times hoping to get guys back or thinking they had guys back, and then they get to the game and it's like you don't. And so then they had to adjust while the defense had already adjusted, you know, so it's kind of been an adjustment game for Louisville for this whole season. And you know, I think that's going to be interesting. I tell you what, offensively, the line caught a lot of flack early on in the year, and they had a new center. He's a former walk-on.
Same as Florida State.
To be quite honest, I think Charlie Strong would even admit this, Charlie Strong and his staff did an awful job of recruiting linemen. There were a bunch of really big, overweight guys on the offensive line at Louisville, and they had to get rid of a few guys that just didn't make it, didn't cut it, and they're really, really thin. And that's where the difference is. Even with Louisville, with all the weapons back, I just, you know, they're going to have a hard time continuing to do this on the offensive line, especially if they would have to get banged up right now. They only really have 6 guys, and that 6th guy has had a penalty on him about every four plays. And he's a guy who they took out of the lineup last week or against NC State. And then they have a guy, Aaron Epps, who's a junior, came in and did a good job. But it's just the line has got to continue to show the improvement they have the last two games. If they can do that, then they can move the ball and do some things.
Yeah, and you know that's actually one of the thing, one of the reasons that actually when I look at this game, I don't expect Florida State to lose this game because of that matchup on the lines. Because whenever I look at a game, I start on the lines because that's where most games are won and lost. And in my view, if you're gonna beat this Florida State defense, you have to be able to beat them up front. They're still really good in the secondary. You have to be able to run it well enough, and you have to be able to protect your quarterback. They've not done a whole lot in terms of being able to put pressure on the quarterback this year. They've done a little better in terms of stopping the run, but if the weakness that you have happens to be there and you're not beating them there, then that makes it more difficult. That said, I'm going to back up just a moment. It is harder to recruit linemen. Right. To a place like Louisville in the ACC, or right. in the AAC. When you're in the Big East or AAC,
right.
You're not getting elite linemen. You just aren't. I mean, linemen are much, Jimbo Fisher likes to say, if you go to South Florida and you shake a tree, a guy about 5'9 who runs a 4'4 falls out. You know, there are skill position guys that you can actually develop and make into really good players if you're a good staff. You can find those guys and succeed with them. You can find quarterbacks and develop them. You can do all sorts of things as a, you know, in that environment where you're an AAC program. You can do all of that, but then it's the problem of finding linemen, in particular those, you know, defensive tackles, you know, your offensive line guys that you can develop on the level of your major, you know, your Power Five conference stuff. And it makes sense that that's where the biggest adjustment is for Louisville right now. It's something that stepping into the ACC, I expect Louisville's recruiting there to improve dramatically because
right.
they're going to be able to step into some of these other states as an ACC school and say, well, we're going to be playing against Florida State. We're going to be playing against Clemson. We're going to be playing right. against Kentucky, who's in the SEC. We're going to, you know, even though they may be, you know, a lower level SEC team, we're going to be playing against, these teams in the Carolinas that you look at as major programs. And now we've got something more to sell. So I would expect to see that improve down the line. But yeah, Florida State is familiar with this problem up front. Actually, you know, it wasn't until the last couple of years that their offensive line situation was sort of finally addressed on that front. It took about a 5-year rebuilding project when Jimbo Fisher and Rick Trickett arrived at Florida State to rebuild the line there. And even this year, there's still right now the replacement at center is a redshirt freshman, and he's really struggled when he's been up against better, more experienced defensive tackles in the last couple of games. He's had some problems. It's not good when you're facing the opposite direction and on the ground when the running back is receiving the handoff, right? You know, that's suboptimal.
Yeah, that's not what you want. So, and that's on the flip side of things. I think to switch gears for a second, I think that's where Louisville feels like that's one of the spots Louisville feels like they might be able to take advantage of on defense, because to be honest, they said all year going into it that if they were going to have a good defense, the new coordinator Todd Grantham and Bobby Petrino always said, if we're going to have a good defense, it's going to be the guy in the middle that kind of gets things going. They switched to the 3-4 scheme, and Sheldon Rankins has been an absolute beast in the middle there. He doesn't always get the tackles, but he's one of the only guys that I've ever seen that on a stat line, on a defensive stat line, he has one for everything. He's a defensive tackle who he has an interception because Wake Forest threw they threw that little pitch that they like to do. The little inside pitch, and he was standing right there and picked it off and took off running the other way for about 5 or 6 yards. Didn't get very far, but took off running. But he's got an interception, he's got a fumble force, a pass deflection. He has one of everything from the middle there, and he's really kind of set the tone for this defense. Other guys make plays. Keith Kelsey's the leading tackler. James Burgess is the big hitter. Gerard Holloman leads the country in interceptions. James Sample has been the biggest improvement guy. He's the guy who's made the biggest difference. But Sheldon Rankins in the middle gets things going. And if Florida State can't handle Sheldon Rankins, it makes it easier for everybody else on that defense.
Yeah, and the thing that concerns me, looking from a Florida State side, if I'm the Florida State staff, the thing that concerns me about Sheldon Rankins is he's not your prototypical 3-4 defensive tackle, nose tackle. He's, from what I understand, he's about, 6'2", 290? He's not a huge guy, but he's very quick.
Exactly.
And Florida State, what they've struggled with on the offensive interior this year has been quickness. They've been able to block size, and given the size of the Florida State offensive line, that's not surprising. But they've had some trouble against quickness, and at this point, we also just found out today that Florida State's best offensive lineman, Trey Jackson, has a knee injury that he needed to get a cortisone shot for today. He's definitely not 100%. He will play, but he's not 100%. And, on the interior, that's not what you want to see if you're Florida State going into, again, playing against a very quick defender on the interior. That said, what I expect to see Florida State do in this game is I expect them to come in and throw the ball a ton. I'm talking eight out of ten times on first down, and basically just come out guns blazing and just let Winston get rid of the football, get it out of his hands, and challenge the back seven of Louisville on neutral downs. I expect to see Florida State come out and just throw it all over the yard against this defense to challenge their back seven in situations where they're not geared up to pin their ears back and come after the quarterback in longer yardage situations. I expect to see a lot of that in this game. The question then to me is how well will Louisville match up against what Florida State's going to bring in the passing game on those neutral downs?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the key thing. Charles Gaines has been a guy who teams have shied away from throwing against because he was so good last year. He's one of the fastest guys on the team, and he's pretty physical. He doesn't like to hit, but he's physical with receivers. I would expect Florida State will try to take a couple shots at him like NC State did. NC State kind of burned him a couple times because he hadn't been thrown at in like six games. Nobody was throwing at him. He was just kind of bored over there. On the other side, Andrew Johnson and Terrell Floyd play the other corner. They'll get tested. I think Sample and Holloman, while those guys have made plays, still it's a matter of testing them early and throwing it a lot because they really haven't played a team that's really just come out and thrown the ball all over the field. And I think, to me, that's what is going to be the most interesting thing to see is can they do that? And if they can have some success at doing that, what will Todd Grantham do? He's been unbelievable this year at making the right adjustment, no matter what it is, no matter what adjustment
it is.
Don't
tell Georgia fans.
Yeah, I know, exactly. That's the crazy thing. We heard so much from it, and it's like the Louisville fans are like, what are the Georgia fans crazy? We want him. We want to keep him, so he's been really good this year, and spot on every time they needed him, and so that's going to be interesting to see because I do think Florida State will come out and throw the ball, like you said, all over the field. What adjustments will they make if they're successful at that?
Yeah, and that's, and the question, I think if Louisville's successful in stopping that, I'm not sure Florida State at this point has the running game to turn to right now in the event that, they have some trouble in that situation. That said, I really haven't seen Jameis Winston struggle a whole lot in his career at Florida State. So, this is Winston, early in the year had to break in some new receivers. And they've sort of turned the corner now at this point with the true freshman Travis Rudolph as taking a major role at this point after he'd been limited in preseason camp by being a true freshman and by having a bit of a foot injury that he was still not 100% on during a preseason camp. Well, he's now stepped in and he's, sort of 2A or 2B, depending on where you want to put Jesus Bobo Wilson. Bobo has played well all year, and he's become sort of a clone of the guy that everybody knows about, and that's Rashad Green. So, they're going to put those three guys out there with Nick O'Leary at tight end, and I think they're just going to basically throw it all over the yard is what I expect. And we did receive word today that starting tailback Carlos Williams will play in this game. Even though he has been under investigation for a couple things at this point, it doesn't look like that's gonna proceed. And you know, there's not much you can do. It's one of those situations. What are you gonna do? So, right. You know, he is going to play, and he's critical for them in pass protection. He's the most reliable pass protection guy they've got, and is a good receiver out of the backfield. So I expect to see them do that. That I think is the matchup that's going to determine sort of the direction this game goes early on. But
I think so as well. I mean, look, Miami has got a really good running game. Whatever you think, anybody thinks about Miami's, I mean, Duke Johnson is really good, and Duke Johnson was healthy and ready. And Louisville, they just couldn't do anything against
and
Louisville.
And they've got a good offensive line.
Exactly. So you're not going to really run the ball on Louisville. That's my opinion. I think they're really good because they're so good up front and their linebackers. I think anybody that has had success on them has been able to pass the ball. And to be quite honest, a couple of teams that have success, it's been the short stuff that they've then broke some tackles down the field. It's the little short things that they might get out in the flats, or they get out in the, you know, just a little bit outside of the box, and they break things down the field. Sometimes Louisville gets a little lax on tackling in the back seven, and that could hurt them in this game.
Yeah, and that's something actually, you know, it's interesting that Florida State has become – the book on Florida State is that when they've had any pressure, when it's been sort of a clutch situation, they go to the short passing game. They go to quick game and let Winston get the ball out quickly and get it to Green and get it to Wilson and get it to now to Travis Rudolph and to O'Leary quickly, get it out quickly, and then let those guys make plays. And it's been happening. So that again is something I expect Louisville will have repped that a ton. On the defensive side, they're going to expect that, and Florida State's going to, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the counters on the counters in this one. Go ahead.
If Lorenzo Malden can make a few plays early in this game, while Rankins is the guy in the middle to get going, Malden is kind of the energetic guy. He's the guy that gets the crowd hyped. He's the guy that gets his teammates hyped. He's the leader kind of the defense. He's got 16 sacks in the last 2 years, 12.5 tackles for a loss this year. If he can get some things going, he's playing that outside linebacker spot now. So he's doing a lot of different things. They're moving him around. If he gets things going early on and makes a couple plays, the whole place changes. The whole atmosphere, the whole attitude of the team changes. It's been that way for two years now, because he's got the – you know, the red dreadlocks, and they fly everywhere, and everybody knows him, and it's just, he's kind of the crowd favorite, he's the team favorite. So if he gets some stops earlier, gets something going early on, it really changes the game for Louisville.
Yeah, and let's move in then to the third phase of the game, sort of before we wrap up. One thing that, you know, in our previous conversations about this, that you'd mentioned was a major concern for Louisville this week is special teams. And that's been a strength for the most part for Florida State. The punting game has been inconsistent, which is better than last year when it was atrocious. It's been inconsistent, but they've been pretty good elsewhere. And even though the kick return game has not showed out the way that it did last year, you know, teams have been aware of what Kermit Whitfield can do and have done their best to try to keep him out of situations where he can return the way that they've wanted. But they've been pretty good on special teams. They've obviously got the best kicker in the country. What is it exactly that concerns you on special teams for this particular game?
Louisville is a botched punt. Just catch the punt at Virginia, they win the ball game. And James Quick, a sophomore, was new in that game back there returning punts because the other guy had let three or four balls go over his head and they landed inside the 5-yard line a couple times in the previous games. He was new on that. If they catch that punt, they run the clock out and they win the Virginia game. They've had a few other punts since then that have been kind of bobbled, kind of inconsistent in that. In the Clemson game, they give up a punt return to a guy who there's no way he should have given a punt return. He broke like four or five tackles, and I don't know how they didn't tackle him. They had him in great position, and he just got away from them. They can't do things like that. It seems like they just have two mental mistakes every game on a punt on the special teams. And I don't know if they really. I mean, every single game they've had one good punt or kickoff return called back because of a penalty. And it's just killed them. Like I said, There's two or three mental mistakes
Welcome to
every
the ACC
game in special
on that
teams,
one.
And that can't happen against Florida State. Exactly. Right, exactly.
That has been a trend for Florida State for as long as I can remember, with the long return brought back by some sort of block on the back or hold. But yeah, I think that's a hidden thing that people often don't think about, is, you know, the key of special teams, the way that they can influence things. It's one of the reasons that Florida State has actually been able to survive. Which is really what they've done this year, is they've survived. One of the reasons they've done that is because, you know, they, with their kicking situation, they don't get in situations where they get nothing. They typically have good field position as a result of, you know, off of his kickoffs, at least. The defense has not been put in a ton of bad spots off of, you know, big returns and things like that over the course of the year. So, at the same time, you know, Florida State fans are still twitchy about their punt return game, about their punting game, and about the possibility of, you know, there is some speed on the Louisville side, and, you know, you just never know with Florida State's punter whether or not he's going to, you know, line drive something and give up a possible return.
Louisville's been pretty good. The John Wallace, their kicker, is really, really good. He missed two this year in the same game in the Wake Forest game, but other than that, he's been really consistent for the last couple of years. He's got a huge leg as well. But the punter's been okay. But you got to remember, back in Louisville, what got that started back in 2002, I don't know if a lot of fans remember that, but it was a 65-yard kickoff return to begin the game. Louisville had 77 total yards of offense in the first half. 65 on that opening kickoff, ended up going three and out and getting a field goal to kind of get on the board. And that was the big thing. The two field goals in the first half were a kickoff return and a punt return that set them up in that game.
What a mess that game was. That's certainly not something Florida State fans want to contemplate, is how that game transpired. Oh, geez.
It was a mess.
Yeah, it really
I'm
was.
I'm still wringing. I keep saying I'm still wringing my clothes out from that from 12 years ago.
certainly a lot better if you actually win the game, though. You want to hold on to that moisture a little
That's
bit.
That's true.
But at any rate, I think we've pretty much exhausted the talk about this game, what we can talk about in terms of the matchups and what to expect. I don't know if you're willing to be put on the spot about what you actually would forecast for this game, but if so, what do you expect?
I mean, I really think Louisville's defense, like I said, I get to see them all the time, and when you look at, I've wondered myself throughout the year, how good are they? But as they keep going, what they did at Clemson, what they've done, and I know the other teams, the schedule hasn't been as strong, but what they did to Miami, what they did to Clemson, I really think this defense is pretty darn good. Now, stopping the Florida State defense is something different. I just, for giggles, picked 26-20 Louisville because that's what it was the last time. And, you know, I'm the Louisville publisher, so I've got to pick them to win. No, I really think they've got a good chance. I think it's going to be a good game, and I think it's going to come down to if Louisville makes a mistake in the special teams, if they don't make a mistake in the special teams, I think they've got a good chance to win the ball game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting one. I don't think that this is going to be a runaway. I don't think that Florida State has played well enough, and I don't think that they've developed quite enough defensively to trust them to do that. I do think it'll be a close game. I have a hard time. I'm at a point where now, can you really bet against Florida State when they've got Winston behind, you know, taking a snap?
Yeah.
And at this point, I just can't bet against Winston in this kind of situation. And you know, I've got to think Florida State scores, even against a really good defense, scores somewhere around 30, 31 points. And I'm not sure that even with the playmakers that Louisville's going to have, that they're going to be able to crack 30 in this game. I think that's the magic number for Florida State. You go over 30, you win this game. With Winston and this team, I think, and this particular matchup, I think they're going to come out, like I said, and throw a lot, which I think will give them the opportunity to score some points early and maybe not get behind the way that they did, that they have. So I think they'll probably cover. I think this is like a 75% game. If I was gonna, you know, put a percentage on it, that Florida State is, you know, should win 7.5 out of 10 games, somewhere in there. Right. That's where I sort of stack up. I think maybe Florida State by 10-ish, you know, something like 34-24. That would be the kind of range I would expect, but I would not be surprised by anything under, say, Florida. You know, I would be surprised a little bit if Florida State went out and dominated this game and won by a lot, but I would not be surprised to necessarily see Louisville win it, and I certainly I'm expecting Florida State to sort of win a close one. That's my expectation, but you know, again, this is going to be interesting one.
And I think you're right. I mean, it's hard to imagine Winston, even if they're behind. I mean, look, he's so much better right when they're behind. I mean, he's only at 71% completions when they're trailing in games. So that's what makes it so difficult. I think the Louisville fans are hoping and thinking, okay, this has to end at some point. Why not this week against a good defense? I mean, that's kind of the hope. And you know, it might. I mean, you never know. I mean, at some point or another, it does.
It's really hard to win every game at the end of the day, and it's really hard to sustain the level of excellence that Winston has sustained. And that I think is why those of us who follow the Florida State program in this are a little twitchy about this game. I think there's also some among the fans, some visions of 2002 and, you know, some PTSD perhaps. But it's going to be, like I said, because of all the movement on the rosters and so on, it should be an interesting one. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I know you guys in Louisville are looking forward to seeing it. So let the games begin, exciting. Right?
Exactly. All right. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks again for joining us, Jody. It's been a pleasure. Well, on behalf of Jody Demling from CardinalAuthority.com and the rest of the Noel Digest staff, I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast. Join us again after the game. I made this.